You're listening to New Hampshire Now.
Welcome back here on New Hampshire Now, 1450 and ConcordNewsRadio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of New Hampshire Now is presented by the Prescription Center, and this segment of the show brought to you by Paradigm Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. That's who my family trusts to call for all our plumbing, heating, and air conditioning needs. Paradigm Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning at 641-6400, or check them out online at ParadigmPH.com. Experience the paradigm shift. So we come to you for Market Days inside the Concord Photo Service Main Street Studio here in downtown Concord. We encourage you to join WKXL and Team Bravery here at Market Days through Saturday for a special fundraiser to help a three-year-old and her family, as well as other New Hampshire families, battle cancer. Check out the WKXL tent right out front of the Concord Photo Service Main Street Studio to partake in the 50-50 raffle or take your chances on winning great prizes from Santa's Village, Storyland, Chunkies, Chucksters, Polar Caves, The Common Man, Paradigm Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, The Barley House, Owl Organic Beauty, and many more. It takes a community to feed cancer. Help us make a difference. Joining us right now on the program is Senate President Chuck Morse. He had a huge role in passing the budget yesterday as the budget passed through the House by 29 votes, in a vote that was a greater margin than expected from Republicans. There was concern, you know, amongst Republicans, some publicly, some privately, about whether or not the budget would pass through the House. Our next guest on the program, Steve Shurtleff, thought that the budget would fail by 10 to 15 votes. But in the end, Republicans were able to get the budget through. We'll talk a little about what the budget means for the state of New Hampshire, but also a little bit of the politics behind things as well, as Chuck Morse joins us right now on the program. Senator Morse, how are you?
Great. Good to be on, Chris.
Appreciate you joining us for the show. So let's talk first and foremost about what this budget means for the state of New Hampshire and what you expect to occur here in the state as a result of the spending package that passed yesterday.
Yeah, I think it's important people understand we met the needs of the citizens of New Hampshire, and we certainly believe we need to drive this economy. And I think we've done that with this budget, and we looking to the future to make sure that we properly set up the government in New Hampshire, so we actually filled the rainy day fund to a responsible level.
Do you think that there has been a more, you know, thorough, long-term approach in this budget than in, you know, previous budgets? Do you think that Governor Sununu has more of a vision ahead for what needs to take place to develop the New Hampshire economy than we've seen previous?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we've been involved in this budget since January in the Senate, and it's been well thought out. I think the governor knew where he wanted to take the state of New Hampshire, and we actually worked very hard to implement that.
What areas do you see there being, specific areas, do you see there being, whether it's economic growth and development, or do you expect that the funding as presented in the budget will send the opioid crisis in a different direction, that the mental health side of things here in the state, which I think is kind of the overarching element behind a lot of the societal and addiction issues that we see in the state, do you think that this budget is going to create an environment where success starts to occur in those fronts, or is this a precursor to more things that need to be done moving forward?
No, I think the governor made it clear from day one it was going to be hands-on. He said on the opioid crisis he was going to, you know, basically roll up his sleeves and be involved. He's done that. Since then, mental health came into play in a big way because we were finding 50, 60 people in waiting rooms. I think, you know, between the governor and myself, we went to visit the hospitals. I think it's important to understand that he said, we're going to solve this problem. We're going to get it done. That's not over. None of that's over. I think it takes his involvement, and that's what he's doing. As for driving the economy, I think he campaigned on that. He certainly is out there talking to businesses and saying, I want to make sure that we break down these barriers, and I want business, you know, coming to New Hampshire, and I want them to get their permits in a proper time period, and I want to make sure that we're growing the economy. That's what this budget was all about.
One of the, you know, the challenges that we talked a lot about on the program was how were you going to get the Freedom Caucus to buy into the budget process, where Their concerns obviously was in regards to spending, and the spending reductions were not what they wanted them to be, but really there was not much more that you could do in order to appease them. So what was the argument that you made as you were we've talked before, and you've said, you know, whenever I ask you about house things, you're like, you know, the house does what the house does, and I kind of stay out of that. But you were very very much engaged in getting House members to particularly members of the Freedom Caucus to buy into this budget. How'd you do it?
Well, I think it was communication. They, you know, they want to be heard. I think that, you know, I went to the speaker and said, you know, do you have a problem with my, you know, dealing with House members? He said, absolutely not. And I just met with Senator Daniels, who, you know, he's grown as a finance chair in just 6 months. He gets it. We made it very clear we were going to meet with Republicans, Democrats, and the Freedom Caucus opened their doors to us to come in many a time to speak to them and explain what the thought process was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this isn't short term. I mean, you know, this is the first time having a Republican governor in a lot of years. We have to take things one step at a time, and I think driving the economy, took the tax cuts. I think that was very important to do. I think there's more work to be done in that area, but that's what we explain to people. You know, let's basically get going here and let's try to lead, and that's exactly what I think came out of this process.
Did you give them an ultimatum did you express to them that if they were not part of the process, that there would not be a continuing resolution? The governor mentioned that there was going to be a budget, and if it was not working with members of the Freedom Caucus, it was going to be working with Democrats and regrouping for a committee of conference.
No, all along I believed we could do this with Republicans. I certainly believed we needed to talk to the Democrats and try and get them on board. I mean, in this budget, there's a lot of things that they support. In the,
right.
I just think it's wrong that they didn't vote for it, because we want to solve problems too. But the reality of the whole thing is the Senate had planned out what would happen in any scenario. That never left my drawer, but we were ready for anything.
Chuck Morse joining us here on the New Hampshire Now program. He, of course, Senate President, and this hour of the program presented by the Prescription Center. This segment of the show brought to you by Paradigm Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, as we come to you from the Concord Photo Service Main Street studio, talking about the success yesterday for Republicans over the State House as their $11.7 billion spending package of the next biennium passed mostly along party lines at the State House. And it was interesting, a comment that you made on the Senate floor yesterday to Senator D'Alessandro about how Democrats and Republicans need to start, talking again after this process is over. What specifically did you mean there, and how do you see, you know, Republicans and Democrats working together moving forward?
Look, I've always believed that I don't ask you if you're a Republican or a Democrat when you call and ask me to help you out with something. I've always believed we need to work together. You know, my beliefs are pretty strong. I'm not going to walk away from them. But the reality is, I think we're there to lead, and everyone has good ideas. I think that was pretty obvious in our discussions with the Freedom Caucus. I understand where they're coming from, and they certainly have ideas that I believe in. So I think that's what it takes in the State House all the time. You can't ignore anyone. And, you know, I've always had an ability to reach out and listen. And, you know, I mean, some people will say, well, you don't do enough of it. But I can assure you, the last 6 months, I've given up a lot of my life back home to make sure that I did listen.
Right. And I think, you know, I'm interested to hear your take on this. I'm not at the State House nearly as much as you are. But it seems like that a lot of the Washington type partisanship and obstructionism has kind of filtered into the State House, where in previous budget cycles, and certainly, you know, the governor, Governor Hassan, did, you know, veto the last budget, and that was kind of the greatest form of obstructionism that can take place, but certainly her right as governor to do so under the law. But do you see a greater amount of friction and between Republicans and Democrats, or even, you know, Republicans and Republicans, given, you know, as you've mentioned before, how much you were engaged in this process? Is there more of a divide than there has been in the past in terms of solving problems here in New Hampshire?
Yeah, I think there is. I mean, I made it perfectly clear. The last thing I think I said when I was outside on the sidewalk leaving the State House yesterday in a conversation with one of the Democrat senators was exactly that. I said, you know, this governor is going to be a great governor. I said, you guys need to learn to work with them. And I said, that's an important piece going into January that I think you have to realize at this point. You know, he's got a vision and he wants to implement it. And I certainly believe that's my role, is to implement what the governor believes needs to happen in the state of New Hampshire. I'm not going to give up Senate positions. Don't think that I would ever do that. But the, I mean, the reality is, I think this governor is young. He's very aggressive on education. He certainly has a vision of where he wants to take the state, and I think we need to do that. So that I think we all need to work together, and I expressed that when I was leaving last night. So
I agree with you. I think that, you know, certainly there's areas that I'll disagree with the governor on, and that Democrats will disagree with the governor on, me from an independent perspective, and Democrats from their perspective, but. I think that, you know, the governor has expressed a clear, optimistic vision for our state, which is beneficial. And I have not been happy with the way that there has been an approach to kind of skew some of his statements and also policy proposals in a way that has been overly negative. There have been greater steps taken by yourself and Governor Sununu in regards to addressing the mental health crisis in the state than we've seen in the past. Is it what I'd like to see as a person who, you know, talks a lot about this? No, but it is a great step forward. It's a great step forward what is being done in regards to the alcohol fund, which I've talked about for years, and it's completely wrong that program was not funded to deal with treatment as it has been in the past. We have additional crises in the state in regards to, you know, the drug crisis, and to see that fund doubled and to see that money being spent in an important way is great. And to kind of skew things and say, well, you know, they're trying to divert funds to the Sununu Youth Center. Well, that hasn't been established as to what's going to actually take place and whether that's actually going to occur. B, most of the individuals at the Sununu Youth Center, one way or another, are, you know, the victims of alcohol or drug-related circumstances. So it's not like it's being diverted to put up a billboard on the side of the road with Governor Sununu smiling and waving to people coming into the Granite State along I-93. It's an important issue that needs to be taken care of. So I don't have a problem if Democrats want to argue about, you know, business taxes or other things, but it's been a shame to see the type of partisanship on both sides. I haven't been happy with, you know, how the New Hampshire Republican Party has acted in a lot of circumstances either, but we're seeing, you know, very much that type of tactical political operative approach to things, trying to score points and tear down the opposition, which is not New Hampshire.
No, I don't, you know, I agree with you 100%. I mean, the alcohol fund's a great example. I worked with the governor on the alcohol fund. I certainly understood what I was doing when I gave the governor the protections with the Sununu Center. The governor made it very clear he was not going to go to that account unless it was an emergency. I think that's one where, you know, people have kicked up their heels on, we're going to steal money out of the account. I just want to make it clear, you know, it was the budget with Jeannie Forrester being the finance chair that we started funding, you know, the alcohol
right.
fund. We picked a percentage that we thought would work and no one would actually go back and take from. Now we've doubled that under Governor Sununu. he's already made plans for building something at the Sununu Center to help with alcoholism. He's forward-thinking. He wants to be able to govern. He needs some protections financially to be able to make sure that he takes care of people. That's responsible. And I think people have to get over themselves on that, because he really does want to solve problems. And that was one thing where I saw the same thing that you saw, and I said, God, I don't understand why everybody's getting so upset. This governor wants to make a difference, and he's going to make a difference. He's hands-on in that category. He first came in and saw that they weren't spending the money in that category, right, and said, we need to implement the plan. So he's doing that, and I don't think you can, basically, I think you need to encourage a governor to do things like that, and he's doing it. I mean, he's going to be a great governor. Let me tell you, he's young, he's aggressive, and he listens. And you can ask the Democrats and the leadership. He's reached out to them all the time. He believes in that. He believes he needs to listen to them. And along with that, he's probably shortchanged Sean and I a little bit, because, he's a busy man. But we certainly worked pretty hard with him to make sure this budget passed.
Final thing, we've talked about the potential of you running in the second congressional district, and today might be the worst day to possibly ask this, but I think that your candidacy would be a very welcome one, particularly in the current political climate. Is it something that you've intend to think about, or something that you have thought about and are contemplating?
I honestly believe, right now I'm leading the Senate, and I'm going to continue to do that job. My future in politics, listen, the pastor of my church made it pretty clear. I think I have the ability to inspire other people. I don't make a hell of a lot of money doing it. That $125 doesn't do it. I do it because I believe I make a difference, and I do believe I could go into a different leadership role in the future. I just have to figure out what that is. I mean, one of the big decisions in my life, Chris, has been, making sure my daughter graduated from college, and that's coming up next year. It's her second degree, so she's she's not getting another one, not right now. So, but the reality is, it makes it easier for me to look at making changes.
So the timing isn't right for this particular for 2018, but perhaps in the future? How would you categorize it?
No, I haven't ruled out 2018, and I'm not going to. I think, right now I want to make sure that, the Senate functions, which is very important to me. I believe in the honor of the Senate, and I certainly want to make sure that I lead it, through this process. So there's a lot of changes going on, and that comes first.
As always, appreciate you joining us for the program, and I look forward to talking to you again soon. Chuck Morris. Chuck Morris here on Hampshire Now, 1914-15 ConcordNewsRadio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of New Hampshire Now is presented by the Prescription Center, and that segment of the show brought to you by Paradigm Plumbing Heating Air Conditioning. We'll come back with more from the Concord Photo Service Main Street Studio after this.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now.
There's a road I'm on. It's blacktop and gravel. It's a faded. This road I travel, it is a well-worn path. It's a cold, bar ditch. It's a